Well, we sure acknowledge our need of the Lord. Believe the Lord has good things for His people. And we want our little portion this morning. I feel like the Lord's inspired me yet again with another thought about our heritage. And I'm still not done feasting personally on the thought of what God has provided for His people. You know, He has, as we've said, He has went back. Christ went back, but He said He's coming again. And He left some things with us. Not only His peace did He leave with us. He said, "My peace I leave you." And, you know, we have read a number of scriptures several times through this little series. But I've been thinking some for a little while on the thought of our hope of heaven. You know, that is something that God has given to His people. And it makes a difference in our lives. I just think about the things that we do from day to day. A chore, sometimes we suffer, sometimes we bear a cross. And many times we bear a cross. But you know, there's a big difference if somebody has a reward at the end of what they do. It changes the picture completely. It changes something from, as Paul said one place, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Well, I believe that we live a more blessed life. We don't maybe have all the pleasures of this life that others may have, but I believe we have the pleasure on the inside that really counts, that people are seeking, and that is that satisfies. And so the Lord gives that to us. But you know, the Lord has given us a hope in Him that makes a big difference. A big difference. And I want to read some scriptures with that. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, 1 Peter 1 and 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, this morning, these little scriptures here hold a lot. It tells us that we have an inheritance, and it's incorruptible, and it's undefiled. And it says it fadeth not away, and it's reserved for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful this morning? The Lord has went back, but He has left an inheritance for us, and it is incorruptible. It is not possible for it to diminish. It is not possible for it to fade away. It is not possible for it to become in any way less, but it holds out there. He says here, reserved in heaven for you. Have you ever went somewhere and they reserved a table for you? Or they reserved a place. You come up to a dinner place and we called ahead and we've got a group here. And yeah, we've got a place for you and take you back there. You've got this nice little room to your family. You can have your little birthday or whatever. You know, the Lord has reserved something for us saints. And it is an inheritance. And He says in verse 3, Peter was very lively about this. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, that begotten again may mean more than one thing, but I will tell you, the Lord, we fail. People, the human race fail, but I want to tell you something. God has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Adam and Eve, their hope dissipated. It fell. It fell away when they fell. But you know, the Lord has given us a lively hope in Him by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, I believe when we go through life, we face a lot of things sometimes, from time to time. But I will tell you, hope is an anchor to the soul. It anchors us where we don't just get whipped around by what happens around us. It anchors us to not be moved by the storms or by the things of this life, the perplexities of life. Hope is an anchor that's given to us. It's a God-given thing. And Peter tells us here it's a lively hope. I don't believe the apostles were people that were just walking through the muck and, you know, someday I'll get out of all this. They had a lively hope. They had something that brightened their day to day. And, you know, the Lord, I believe, wants to give us that anchor to our soul. You know, I was thinking about what Paul said. He said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Now, I will tell you, that changes the picture a whole lot. Because I don't know what you could have done to Paul to take his hope away. if to die was to be better off. And that's what he felt. And he said, you know, "For you it's more profitable for me to remain." But Paul's hope was not in this life. Paul had a lively hope. He had a hope that when he was tried and the things in life came unto him, the persecutions that happened to him, Paul had a lively hope, and he said, "For me to live is Christ. If I'm here, I'm living for God. I'm giving everything to Him. Everything about my life is for the Lord." And he went around preaching that. He went around telling people about the good things of God. He wrote letters about the good things of God. He wrote them from prison. For him to live was Christ. But to die, it was gain. It was even more. Because he had a lively hope within his soul and within his heart. Saints, I want to tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. My whole life is given to this thing because I believe it that much. Do we believe it in our heart this morning? You know, if we have a lively hope of heaven, if for us to die is gain, then you know, it's hard to beat some. It's hard for the devil to beat you if to die is to gain and to live is Christ. You know, the Lord wants us to learn from those that have went before us. One place the Scripture tells us that we don't sorrow like other people. You know, we don't sorrow like other people because of this hope. We don't fear like other people because of this hope. The Lord wants to beget in us a lively hope. But I will tell you, we got to get our eyes off of this world and get it on the Lord. When our eyes get settled on God and on His will in our life, and Lord, I just want to do Your will. I just want to live for You. I want my days to be burned up for You and for whatever Your will is in my life. And you know, when we become like that, I believe we'll be like Paul. For me, to die is gain. To live is Christ. And I believe we'll find the Lord giving us many, many blessings. When you read Paul's heart and you read his writings, you don't find someone with his head hanging down. You find a place or two where the brethren came along and lifted him up. But Paul's writings reflect one of victory and of the good things of God. I want to read in Romans 8 and starting at 16. Listen to this. Now, remember that the Lord has given us an inheritance here. He's given us a heritage that is given to the people of God. It's not for everybody. It's to the people of God. He's given a heritage, an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. And so let's read here Romans 8 and 16. The Spirit, excuse me, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that wonderful this morning? His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. You ever took a little time and meditated on this? If we're children of the Lord, if our heart bears witness within us that we've been changed, that God is dwelling within, you know, then it says here, then we're heirs if we're children. And we're heirs of God. And we're joint heirs with Christ. So where Christ is, beholding the face of the Father, you know what? We're going to get to be a joint heir with Him. We're going to get to see that one day. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, for whatever the divine wisdom of God is, He includes suffering. Every time you find that, it'll say many times in the Word, you find the word suffer or suffering. You know, there is some suffering we do from time to time. There are some things we bear as people of God. There are some insults. There are some things the world gives to people. There are some things the devil personally will attack people with from time to time. You know what? If we suffer with Him, it says we'll reign with Him. That's our heritage this morning. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, we have to get our eyes on this sometimes. Get our eyes up. This is part of our heritage, part of the promise of the Father. It's part of what we live for and what we live on. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We believe that this morning? I think just 5 seconds into heaven and we're going to say it's not compared. There isn't any comparison. There isn't any. All that I thought was heavy, Paul says, it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. You know, those before us chose vanity, and the Lord subjected us to vanity, but He subjected the same to hope. You know, He's allowed us to be tempted by that and to be born into a world of that. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, Paul understood us. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see, for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I just want to give you that little message this morning. Be patient. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Be patient. Be patient with the trials of life, with the perplexities of things, with the slowness sometimes of, Lord, why don't you answer immediately? I don't always know why, but I've never found Him to be wrong. I've never seen Him wrong. I've never seen Him when later I would have said, I wished He had hurried up. You know, the Lord knows what He's doing. And so He says here, But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I wanted to read a song. I don't guess we have a book up here. Maybe there's... Here's one. I've got one. Evening Light, song number 198. Listen to the words penned here. We sing this song fairly often, and it says, "Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave, in the sweet and vernal lands? Do we know if this, our tabernacle, were to be dissolved? We've a house not made with hands." You ever meditated on that? Have you ever stopped to think about what our reward is going to be like? Have you ever thought about what heaven is going to be like when we get there, if we're faithful? Blessed hope, verse 2, we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. You know, I like that. It's steadfast and it's sure. It is founded on the promises of Father's written word, and 'twill evermore endure. Hope has brought us through the dangers and temptations of the past, and we fear not those to come. Why don't we fear those to come? We feel a sense of fear sometimes, I think, probably most of us. But that's taken away by the awesome knowledge that God will be there too. And I don't really fear that. I know God will be there. I believe that with all my heart because of his track record, because of the thousands of years of testimony of those that have proved it so and what I've seen myself. Hope has brought us through the temptation, dangers and temptations of the past, and we fear not those to come. By her blessings we'll go forward while our mortal life shall last. Then we'll joyously go home. Since we've walked the straight and narrow way, our path has ever shone brighter, brighter day by day. I can testify. I won't say every day was brighter than the one before, but generally, in a general sense, following day by day, the path of the just gets brighter and brighter. Your hope gets brighter. You anchor it. You learn to anchor it, not in the things all around us, not in being hooked up to the things that happen all around us. Where do we get our joys from? Do we get them from what happens in our life, from the advancements and the blessings of this life? I believe the Lord wants us more and more to get our strength from him. And then our light can be lit all the time. Then our light can be lit in adversity. Then our light can be lit when we don't understand. Because we don't have to understand everything. We just have to keep walking with the Lord. By and by, I believe he'll reveal most of those things to us. Hope within our hearts assures us it is better farther on. It is brighter all the way. Life will end in joyful singing. I have fought a faithful fight. Then we'll lay our armor down, and our soul will break the cable here and take its happy flight to possess a starry crown. We have a hope within our souls brighter than the perfect day. God has given us his spirit, and we want the world to hear it. All the doubts are passed away. You know, as we walk this pilgrim way and this Christian way, the Lord wants our hope to be enough that it causes us to want to do all the will of God in our life, to give our life to the service of God and other people. I believe there's a higher calling than setting everything up in this life just like we want it. We try to get things as much like we want it as we can, but just working as we go. It don't always happen that way because that's not where our heart is. Our heart is somewhere else. We've been left with a promise. We're heirs with the Lord. There's something a lot greater than what we have here. In Hebrews 11, I love this set of scriptures here. Hebrews 11 and 8. Listen to these words. It says here, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Listen to this. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, this is the folks that have went before us. Now, Abraham, the scripture, I believe Jesus tells us that there was a great gulf there. And Abraham was enjoying himself. And we see Jesus said the poor beggar was in Abraham's bosom. And you know, we find here, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Folks, if Abraham had set his sights on what was happening in his life right then, you know, Abraham would have been disheartened, I believe. But Abraham knew that God had promised some things, and he was persuaded of that. And it says he embraced them. And it says, and confess these people, like Abraham, Noah, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, saints, Abraham had his eyes set on something afar off. He had his eyes set on God's doings, on God's will. And many others, Noah, he had his eyes. You know what he was building when everybody else was building their empires? He was building an ark to the saving of his family, the saving of his own life and soul. You know, Noah was doing that. This morning, I just want to encourage us. Do God's will in our life. I believe there's a hope. There's a golden hope that we have that the world doesn't have. That's why we live different. That's why we don't set our hopes here. That's why we give our whole life to God, knowing that we're taking loss in this life, knowing that we're not going to have in this life what we could maybe have, knowing that because we're persuaded, because there's something out there, there's something we believe, and we give our lives to it. And this morning, I just want to encourage us. God has given us something. There is a heavenly something prepared for us. There is a heavenly city that the Lord has prepared. And I don't think our finite minds can take it in. We can think of it this way and that way. When we get there, I believe we're going to be really surprised. Our minds couldn't absorb all of that right now, because we're not, our bodies aren't glorified yet. But you know, this morning, the Lord wants us to get our eyes up on that heavenly country. If these people had have been of a mind, they would have turned back. It says there, they declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. It says he's not ashamed to be called their God. And you know, this morning, I believe if we're ashamed to be called his children, He's going to be ashamed to be called our God in that day. But this morning, let's do God's will. Let's let that hope be lively in our life. Be something that causes us to do all of His will. If they had had a mind to, they'd have went back to the things they left. If we have a mind to, we can go back to the things we left. But you know, we desire something better, a heavenly country. That's why when we see life before us, what do we see? The will of God. Lord, I want Your will. I want Your will in my life. I want You to live through this body. I want You to have Your way. Do we do that this morning? God help us. Lord, we want Your will. Well, that's all we want. We want Your will in our life. And I believe if we have that, we'll have a lively hope of heaven this morning. In Acts 20 and 22, these folks had to purposely set their eyes on other things. Noah was building that ark, and I'm sure he took a lot of sneers and a lot of laughs. And he got a lot of jibes. I can see the men now coming by. Noah, well, how's your ark going? You know, making fun of him. I can see it. I've heard men say things like that. I've seen them make those kind of remarks. And Noah stood that for a long, long time. Many, many years he built that ark. It was to the saving of his soul. Acts 20 and 22. And now behold, this was Paul's testimony. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count out my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen to Paul's words. None of these things move me, and I don't count my life dear unto myself. And he said, so I might finish my course with joy. I want to finish the race. That's what I want. And he said something else. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know, this morning, what is the ministry the Lord has given us? This thing don't work unless we receive of the Lord the ministry that He has given us. To every one of us, He's given talents. To every one of us, He's given responsibilities. It only works as we receive that into our life. We want to have a hope of heaven. It's not going to be very lively unless we've taken upon us the ministry that the Lord has given to us, the talents He has given us, the responsibilities, and we're faithfully carrying those things out. You know, when we do that, our hope, I believe, will be lively. Our hope will become lively because it's all about God then and not about us. And when it's about the Lord and when we're walking in His presence, when we're talking to Him, when we're getting our directions from Him, when our whole thought is to do His will, it don't matter quite as much what happens to this life when we do that. I don't believe that's too much to say. And looking on down there, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, Paul had done all the will of God there. I believe his mind, his heart was clear. I have done His will. Now, maybe ours hasn't been with words. Maybe our gift, maybe our responsibility is somewhat different, but it is there nonetheless. And I believe the reason Paul felt this confidence, they cried, they tried to keep him, no, don't go. But you know, That wasn't in his mind. He was all right. To die was gain for him. In John 14, in verse 1, this is no less a part of our inheritance, folks. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14 and 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't that wonderful this morning? The Lord has given us a hope of something so much greater. Now, if we only, if let's fix our eyes on that hope. Let's lift our eyes up to that. Lord, I want to do your will. I want to make it to heaven. And I want to be there one day. You know, it makes a big difference in our demeanor, in our thoughts, in our ways. I was thinking about the little saying that said, I'm not giving up or down. And I maybe add or in, because I want to go to heaven. These folks that we read about, and you can read all through Hebrews about people that they left the pleasures of life behind. Moses, you ever thought about what he left behind to become a sheep herder? A lot of people have left some things behind, but they had a hope, and they could have, many of those went back to that if they would have wanted. But they had a lively hope. They didn't want to go back. There wasn't any going back in them. The Lord doesn't want us to do that either. I want to read part of this song over here in number 213, Ever Keep Heaven in View. It says, Pilgrim of Jesus, o'er life's troubled sea, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view. We take our eyes off of the prize, and I'll tell you, you'll start sinking if you're not careful. Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow. He's bidding thee now. Ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, oh, lift up thy head. Ask, and thy strength he'll renew. And while in the footprints of Jesus you tread, ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden above long has been waiting for you. And soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansion of love. Ever keep heaven in view. Then the chorus goes on, courage, my brother. Right onward pursue, ever keep heaven in view. You know, I believe the Lord wants our hope to be lively. He wants us to keep heaven in view. When something comes along and it's a bitter pill, let's get on the other side. Lord, I'm going to heaven. Lord, I want to lift up my eyes to you. I'm a joint heir with the Lord. You ever meditated on that a while? Meditate on that a while. I'm a joint heir with the Lord. I'm a brother of Christ, and I'm going to be inheriting with him heaven. I believe we're going to be inheriting that this morning. Put our eyes up on those things. What a blessing that is. Ever keep heaven in view? We get our eyes down, we'll be just like Peter. We'll sink in the waves. The Lord's given his people something this world doesn't have. They don't have this hope. They don't have the hope of heaven. This thing that we believe, that we live for, that we sacrifice our life for. They don't have that hope this morning. Oh, I thank the Lord this morning for that, those many blessings. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's 1 Peter 3. You know, the Lord, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, the Lord wants us to recognize, I'm going to meet the Lord. I got to purify myself. I got to get my eyes on Him. I got to get my eyes on the promise. I've got to get my eyes on the will of God and doing His will. In doing that, we take them off of this life, off of our current situation many times. But I will tell you what happens when we take our eyes off of those fiery serpents, those things of this life that cause us pain. The same thing that happened back there when during Moses' time when he put that serpent on the pole and he said, "Now you look up," and what did he say would happen? "You'll be healed." "You'll be healed." And Jesus said he was like that to the people. Jesus was going to be like that. They're going to lift him up. And they did. They put him on a cross. And we lift him up in our lives. And you know what? When we lift up our eyes to him, you know what happens? We're healed. We're healed of those things that would distress us. How are we healed? Because he gives comfort. He gives life. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In this life, you'll suffer tribulation, the Lord said. But be of good cheer. He said, "I've overcome the world." He said, he gave us many promises. These are things, folks, one scripture says, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. And we have a song that says that. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul keeps us from sliding away. Sometimes we've gone fishing. I used to go with my dad out in a little boat. And we'd throw the anchor over when we found a good fishing hole. And it kept us there. Kept us from going wherever the waves would take us. That hope that we have, it keeps us in that fishing hole. It keeps us in that place. Hope, in Romans 5, it says, "Hope maketh not ashamed." You know what it's speaking of there? When we get to the end of our way, if we've had hope, hope, see, causes us to be able to keep on going. Hope causes us to be able to press the battle on. It keeps us from being ashamed when we get to the end and we have to say, "Lord, I gave up the fight." That hope that we have, it maketh not ashamed. It makes us able to meet the Lord in peace. This is something given to the people of God. It's something, it is a heritage that is rich, that's given to us. It makes us able to keep on being righteous and honest in this life. By the Lord, by God's grace, it keeps us able to live for Him. Hope maketh not ashamed. Oh, what a blessed hope is this, an anchor to the soul. Lord, increase our hope this morning. Cause us to lift up our eyes and to realize, you know what it's going to be like to be an heir in heaven? That's our heritage this morning. He left that to us in His written word. He left it to us and told us that that was ours. We can be a joint heir with Christ and enjoy the same things He's enjoying. Do we believe it this morning? You believe that this morning? I believe most of us do. Let's believe it. Let's look upon it. And I believe it'll help our peace. It'll help our life. It'll help our resolve to look up to the Lord. And when we do that, there's another dynamic that starts working. And that's His grace. That when we look up to Him and our whole heart is trusting in Him, "Lord, I'm living by Your strength. I need Your help." You know what He begins to do? He begins to stream that down into our heart. He does. That's the way it works. We trust in Him. We long for Him. We cry, "Abba, Father." We look to the Lord. We live for Him. We make Him the center of our life. And He makes us the center of His affections. And then He takes us to heaven. Amen.